Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Ron Ben Margarita, Sharon Katz, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and Ruth Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. We're going to give you an update on what's going on with the heroic Hilltop youth who are trying to save the Jewish people from the catastrophe of an independent Palestinian state, God forbid, in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem, which would be national suicide for Israel. We're going to give you an update on what's going on with them and what JTF's efforts have brought to the equation and exactly what the latest news is. And in addition to that, we're going to be discussing the unbelievable Nazi cruelty and brutality of violent black criminals that so many Jews and so many sick self-hating whites support. The self-hating Jews and the self-hating whites insist upon supporting the most vicious, violent, murderous black criminals, and we're going to give you an illustration of just how cruel they are. But first, we're going to give you an update on what's going on in the Hilltop communities. Because if we don't hold on to these strategic hilltops in Yehuda v'Shamron, in Judea and Samaria, the Arab Muslim Nazi enemies of the Jewish people will take over those hilltops. They're moving in everywhere. They're winning the battle on the ground, except on these hilltops. There are at least 20 strategic hilltops that have been taken over by heroic, noble, God-fearing, patriotic Jews who have moved in there, and in many cases live there without running water, without electricity, with their families and their babies. And they've done it to make sure that this remains in Jewish hands and that the Arabs are not able to take over these strategic hilltops. Because if they take over the strategic hilltops, they'll create a Palestinian state in everything but name. And even though there are no Palestinians, there's never been a Palestinian people in history, there's never been a nation of Palestine in history, this is all a bluff and a lie and a fabrication. All of it is. But evil people want to create a monstrous Arab terrorist state like this in Judea and Samaria to destroy the state of Israel. In Israel's biblical heartland, they want to create this state, which would be national suicide for Israel. And so the heroic Hilltop youth, who are supported only by JTF, JTF is the only organization that regularly sends them money and supports them. We're the only organization in the United States or in Israel that on a regular basis sends them money and supports them. These heroic Hilltop youth are there to prevent this catastrophe for the Jewish people. They're protecting the entire Jewish nation with what they're doing. And I can tell you that there is a tremendous improvement in terms of their public relations campaign since JTF has started financing what they're doing. We finance now their public relations campaign. And because of that, there is a tremendous improvement. There are almost daily stories in the religious nationalist media, Arut Sheva, Kippah, Srugim, all of these websites in the religious nationalist community, which do have an influence on the government and government policy. There are continuous stories publicizing the injustices and the brutality and the violence that's being directed against these heroic young Jews by the Israeli police and by the Israeli army. For instance, this past week, an Arab IDF soldier, IDF is the Israel Defense Forces, an Arab Israeli army soldier broke the nose of one of these young Jews, broke his nose for no reason. This is the type of violent brutality that is constantly directed against these Jews. And at least now these stories are being publicized. Before we started financing this campaign, this public relations campaign, they were unable to do that. We have made it possible now. JTF, your support, you great JTFers who have supported us, you have made it possible for us to back up these Jewish youth and to say we're on your side and we're going to do everything we can to help you because your fight is our fight. So we're publicizing their plight and we're moving on this issue. as best we can. We, of course, we have an uphill battle. We always have an uphill battle. But you should see the spirit of these God-fearing, Torah-true Jewish heroes. They live there with their little babies, with no running water and no electricity in this day and age, on hilltops surrounded by hundreds of thousands of hostile, hateful Arab Muslim Nazis. And you may say, well, how could they do something like that? It's so dangerous, it's so difficult. Yes, it's dangerous, it's difficult. But if they didn't do it, do you have any idea what danger the Jewish people as a whole would be in? If they didn't do it, it would be a catastrophe. All the Jewish settlements and communities, the important ones, would be surrounded by the Arab, completely surrounded by Arab, by Arab outposts and Arabs taking over. And it would be they would choke off the Jewish settlements there, and we would eventually have a so-called Palestinian state, God forbid. So they have to be there. And again, no one is, and I hope that some organization out there that's richer than us and bigger than us and better than us will support them. I hope, God willing, that happens. But right now, we're the only ones doing it. We're the only ones doing it on a regular basis. Now, they do get somebody will send them a contribution every now and then. They'll get one-time contributions from people and from individuals. I don't know if they even get that from organizations. But organizationally, we are it for them. We're their lifeline. And they are the lifeline for the Jewish people and for Israel, keeping Judea and Samaria and preventing a retreat to the pre-1967 suicide borders. They are the lifeline for the Jewish people, and we are their lifeline to keep them going. So that's how important our mission is in JTF, a very important mission that we have, and let's take it very seriously. And so when you support JTF, and when you promote JTF, and when you do things to make people aware of JTF, that's what you're fighting for. You're fighting their battle, which is the ultimate battle for Jewish survival. By the way, there is no battle that is more important for Israel's survival right now than that battle. And yet, all the organizations, everybody, what are they all doing? What are they doing? Why aren't there other groups supporting them? That's the first story, so that you'll know at least that we're doing something, and at least there is a public relations campaign that publicizes when, for instance, this Arab soldier broke the nose of a heroic young Jew there, just because he happened to want to live on his own land. So at least there's a public relations campaign, and they know they have some backup, at least some backup. That's what JTF offers. That's what JTF represents. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Now, the second story we want to deal with is violent black criminals. And the reason, why would we deal with this issue? We're a Jewish organization. We're fighting for Jewish survival and the survival of Israel. Why would we deal with this issue? I'll tell you why. I don't deal with this issue, by the way, when I speak to Jews in Israel. I don't deal with violent black crime in America, and I don't speak to them about this, because I speak to them about issues that are related to Israel's survival when we do our Hebrew videos and our Hebrew advertising campaign, which we also have going there. We have a Hebrew advertising campaign to reach the Jews of Israel with our message. I don't speak to the people of Israel with that, but when I'm speaking to American Jews and to others who are interested in Israel and Gentiles who come to our videos and are interested in this cause, I want them to know that American Jews allowed 6 million innocent Jewish men, women, and children to be brutally murdered in the worst crime in human history during the Nazi Holocaust, and did nothing to save them. Nothing. I want people to know that. And I want people to know that the same American Jewish community that did nothing for the 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, and that with the exception of those of us in the JDL, did nothing for Soviet Jewry for 70 years, and did nothing on all the other Jewish problems that exist. The same American Jewish community, where 90% of the Jews in that Jewish community wouldn't even know a Jewish concept if they fell over it now. They're so assimilated, intermarried, and un-Jewish. That same American Jewish community fights for all of their enemies. For all of their enemies, they will fight. That they'll fight for enthusiastically. For Nazi Jew-hating organizations like Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. That they'll fight for. Organizations that declare Black Lives Matter declares openly and is in writing and speaking openly that they favor the destruction of Israel. That's genocide against the Jewish people. This is a Nazi organization. A Nazi organization. Why is it that white Nazis would not get are so disturbing to Jews as they should be? All Nazis, by the way, deserve to die. All of them deserve to die. They deserve to have happen to them what they did to 6 million Jews and to other innocent people. They deserve to have that happen to them 1,000 times over. And in the next world, they're going to get it 1,000 times over. God will punish them 1,000 times over. White Nazis, Jews are disturbed about. But black Nazis, the minute the skin color is black, all of a sudden the same thing, they'll do the same thing that a white Nazi will do, and it doesn't bother, the Jews aren't bothered by it if the skin color is black. What are you, crazy? The number one anti-Semites in America today are black anti-Semites. They are the biggest collection of vicious, violent, hateful, murderous Jew haters in the United States today. I'm not saying they're the only Jew haters. There are many other Jew haters in America. Many other Jew haters. But the black Jew haters in groups like Black Lives Matter, they are the ultimate vicious haters and enemies of the Jewish people. And the Jews are the ones that fight for them and defend them. And yes, and we have to believe, and there's racial inequality. There is racial inequality in America against whites, against Asians, and against Jews, and in favor of blacks. For over 50 years, there is racial inequality and racism in favor of blacks who deserve nothing from this country. They deserve nothing. Okay? Their impact on America has been overwhelmingly destructive and negative. This country owes them nothing. And certainly the Jewish people owe them nothing. Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson, these other black Nazis, have gone around making up the story that Jews were behind slavery. It wasn't the Jews who were behind slavery. It was your Arab Muslim Nazi brothers who started slavery. They're the ones who were behind slavery and who originated slavery and originated the slave trade. The Arab Muslim Nazis that you support, they're the ones who originated the slave trade. The Jews had nothing to do with slavery. And the Jews wouldn't want you as slaves. We want slaves who work. We wouldn't want black slaves. Now, we're going to show you an example of violent black criminal behavior that you don't see that the media tries to ignore, even though this was a local TV station did cover this. A rare example because it was so extreme. They covered it, but still, this is like one story, it's like a drop in the bucket versus the other million stories that they'll tell you about how blacks are oppressed and blacks are... They're oppressed. They're oppressed. Please. They've invented nothing and created nothing and contributed nothing. And they get everything. Never has so much money and so much effort and so many trillions of dollars been poured down the drain trying to uplift a community like black Americans with such pathetic results. Since the 1960s, trillions have been spent trying to uplift them. And look at, and the results are worse than pathetic. You're going to see an example of the results. You're going to see an example of a 17-year-old black defendant who murdered an innocent person in Michigan. Murdered somebody. In cold blood, just murdered him. And you're going to see this person's mother crying in court. Person's mother is crying while another relative is reading a statement from the family. And you see the crying and the pain. And this black, vicious, cruel, vile murderer, cold-blooded murderer, is laughing, smiling and laughing and enjoying listening to the description of what he did to this person. That's what you're going to see. We'll show you this clip first, and then we'll explain to you why this is the true face of black America, because the majority of black males in America have criminal records. The majority of them are going to do time in their lifetime, and the majority of them have criminal records. Okay? And the majority of the overwhelming majority of them support politicians who back beasts like what you're going to see. So this is the true face of Black America, because Black America backs up people like this. Watch this clip.
In court after an admitted killer is caught on camera smiling during his sentencing. A judge fed up with that casual attitude stopped the proceedings in a surprising move. 7 Action News reporter Shelley Childers live in the newsroom right now with what happened next. Shelley?
Well, Stephen, it's a case of a murdered Ann Arbor teen, and it was quite a shakeup in court today. The judge asked the prosecutor to throw out the sentence agreement and take this case to trial. There was a long recess as everything was put on pause because of this 17-year-old's behavior.
Donta Wright sat in court smiling and nearly laughing as a mother shed tears for her son, shot and killed by Wright.
I've lost laughter and love. I no longer have the hope of having grandchildren. I've lost the enjoyment of holidays and birthdays and of everyday life.
Wright addressed the court showing no remorse.
I just want to tell y'all, I'll be home soon. R.I.P. Keon, I love my family.
Yes. The judge, clearly fed up with the defendant's attitude, stopped the proceedings and asked prosecution to consider taking this case to trial, where Wright would face a stiffer punishment if found guilty by a jury.
But watching you sit there, smile and laugh and shake your head like this was no big deal, I'm very tempted to just say, I'm not going to accept this sentence agreement. We'll go to trial. And if you're convicted of felony murder, you'll go to prison for the rest of your life. That means you'll die there.
This is not the first time the teen has shocked the courtroom. Back in June during a pretrial hearing, he admitted he shot and killed 18-year-old Jordan Klee. It was October 2016. Wright said he and two other friends were trying to rob Klee when he shot Klee in the back of the head, killing him. The victim, a senior at Pioneer High School in Ann Arbor, was described as a high-achieving student and football athlete.
This year was supposed to be a year of celebration, of senior pictures with prom and graduation and parties. Instead, it was a nightmare that no parent should ever endure.
Ultimately, Jordan's family decided not to take this case to trial and to move forward with today's sentencing. The defense attorney apologizing on behalf of the 17-year-old.
His smiling was in no way meant as disrespectful either to the family, to the victim, or to this court.
Donta Wright was sentenced to 23 to 50 years for armed robbery, felony firearm, and second-degree murder of 18-year-old Jordan Klee.
And in court, we also learned that Donta Wright is accused of being part of the finesse gang from Ypsilanti. The other two people charged in this case have also pled guilty for their roles. Delrano Gracie and Jeremias Ellison are scheduled to be sentenced in September.
The cruelty, not even an ounce of conscience, not even an ounce of conscience or morality or decency after brutally murdering somebody, a young person who had just started out in life, just brutally taking that person's life away and then laughing and enjoying this and smiling while listening to what happened. And yes, again, this does represent Black America. This represents Black America, okay? They'll say, but Blacks also are against crime. Blacks are against crime? Is that why they vote for politicians who want to release all the criminals? Is that why they support Barack Hussein Osama, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all the others that want to empty the jails of all the Black criminals and black drug dealers who sell poison to their own children, to their own communities? What are Black drug dealers in prison for? For selling poison to their own brothers and sisters. The majority of drug dealers in America are Black. The majority of rapists in America are Black. The majority of murderers in America are Black. The majority of violent criminals in America are Black. Even though the Blacks are only 15% of the population, 14-15% of the population, only 7 or 8% of them are Black males. Only 7 or 8% of the population are Black males. And then the majority of rapists, the majority of murderers, the majority of violent criminals, the majority of drug dealers selling poison to their own brothers and sisters for profit. And all the Black politicians, the Congressional Black Caucus, and all the big Black politicians, all the ones that get 95% of the Black vote in every election, they're always out there screaming that it's racist and that we should let them all go. We should let them out of the prison system. If Blacks had any self-respect or any decency or any loyalty or any honor, they would want to kill every single one of these people. Because someone who sells drugs, someone who sells cocaine or heroin to people, that's like mass murder. putting that out on the street, that's like mass murder. You're certainly destroying the soul of the person that you're addicting. You're destroying their soul. And these people couldn't care less. Just like that chimpanzee that you saw laughing in court, I saw in the 5 years, and yes, I was in the prison system for 5 years, but I wasn't in prison for robbing or stealing or selling drugs or doing bad things. I was in prison because I fought to free Soviet Jews, to free the Jews who were being held hostage behind an iron curtain of oppression and injustice, and make sure that the world would know that Soviet Jews were not being allowed out, so that there wouldn't be silence anymore like there was during the Holocaust, so that we could save our brothers and sisters. That's why I spent 5 years in prison. And when I was in the prison system, you know how many times I saw blacks laughing? You know how many times I saw scenes like what you just saw before? Like the clip you saw before? Do you have any idea how many times I've seen scenes of these black prisoners laughing at what they did to their victims? How many black rapists would laugh and say what they did to this one and that one and laugh at what they did to the women? And most of the women that they rape are black women. And most of the murder victims of black murderers are blacks. And most of the people who take drugs from black drug dealers are black. And they think it is hilarious. They think it's funny. They get a sadistic kick out of it. These are beasts. These are subhuman beasts. That beast who killed that person in Michigan, that beast should be torn to pieces. He should not be allowed to live. There should be an automatic death penalty for someone who commits premeditated murder of an innocent person. Oh, by the way, most hate crimes in America, because people always talk about hate crimes, the vast majority of real hate crimes in America are committed by blacks. All these elderly Jews are being attacked on the street now. Jews are being, old Jewish people are being attacked and knocked on the floor by blacks, by young blacks. Overwhelming majority of cases, these are blacks doing this. Elderly Asian people. What did the Chinese and Korean and what did these people do to the blacks? They came here. By the way, the Chinese, the Korean, all the Asian people, they came here. They can't pretend they're white. They're not white. They're not white supremacists. And yet they succeed. They don't even speak English. They come here, they don't even speak a word of English. And they open stores and succeed, and their children go to colleges and universities because they have discipline. And in this country, if you have discipline, you work hard, you can succeed. The blacks have been given every opportunity possible for the past 60 years. 60 years of opportunities they've had, squandering all of them. And the result is that laughing chimpanzee that you saw in court, that laughing hyena that you saw in court. Jews are supposed to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests. That's what it says in the Bible. That's what the prophets tell us. Hashem, God, commanded the Nevi'im, the prophets, to tell us that we have to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests, an example, a moral example for the whole world. This is the moral example we set by defending filth like this instead of defending their victims? That's the moral example we set? And how many Jews have been murdered by blacks over the years? They've murdered, I know Jews who lost family members to black murderers. I mean, it's atrocious what they've done here. Hundreds of thousands of people have been murdered in this country over the past several decades, and the vast majority of the murderers were black. Hundreds of thousands of murders. That's like a mini Holocaust. And we're told how unjust it is in the criminal justice system. And they want to open the doors and let them all out. And they want to make all the... They don't want to just defund the police. They want to make all the police black. They have such aggressive affirmative action programs discriminating against whites and Asians and Jews when they hire police. They want to make all the police black. Oh, let me tell you, you'll have some police force when they're all black. When they take over something, oh boy. JTF is going to stand for the truth, whether it's popular or not. Because yes, we're supposed to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests. We're supposed to be willing to sail against the wind and swim against the tide for righteousness and justice and for the true underdog. The true underdog in our society are not blacks. They are the ultimate overdog. The ultimate underdog are the victims of blacks. They're the ultimate underdogs. And the victims of Muslim terrorism and the victims of all the other politically correct savagery that exists in this world and in the United States of America and in Israel. They're the ultimate underdogs, the victims. And that's who we stand with. The courageous underdogs that are fighting for truth. By the way, the Arab soldier. Why do you have Arab soldiers in the Israeli army? Israeli army should be a Jewish army. It should be a Jewish army with Jewish soldiers. Arabs should not be in the Israeli army. Arabs are enemies of the Jewish people. They do not belong in the Jewish army. They should not be trusted. The Arab soldiers over and over again are caught stealing weapons and passing them on to the terrorists. And the Arab soldiers over and over again are caught smuggling drugs as soldiers. They should not be in Mishmar HaGvul as border patrol. They should not be in Sahal in the Israeli army. They should not be in the army. They cannot be trusted. And this Arab Nazi soldier, he broke the nose of this guy with wearing brass knuckles. He wore brass knuckles and broke this kid's nose. A young Jew who just wants to live in his homeland broke his nose. Something he would not do to an Arab. Arabs are allowed to illegally settle all over the land of Israel, and they're doing it all over the land of Israel. If not for the Hilltop Youth, they would have taken over all of Judea and Samaria already. We got to stand for justice and righteousness. I know it's politically incorrect. I know it takes guts to tell the truth, to stand in front of you, in front of this camera here, and speak to you like I'm speaking. I know it's not easy to do. But aren't you glad at least somebody is doing it finally? If you want truth and justice and righteousness to prevail, then we have to be a voice of truth, even if in this pathetic generation, being a voice of truth is not the popular thing to do. But we know that in the end, the forces of truth are going to win. The forces of righteousness are going to win because God himself has promised us that will happen in the end days. And we are in the end days because the Jews have come back to the land of Israel and resettling the land of Israel. These are the end days. And now more than ever, we need to stand up for truth. You want to stand up for truth? You have an organization, you have a movement called JTF. We're doing that. We're fighting for truth and we're doing everything we can to help. Money-wise, all of our money goes to Israel. We don't spend money here for any projects here. The only thing we do here is we do videos like this to tell the truth about what's going on in the United States as well, because I think we have an obligation to do that when we do English language videos. We can't ignore what's happening in the United States when we're doing English language videos directed at an American audience. But our money and our budget is 100% to help the people of Israel. And if that's something that's important to you, the survival of Israel and the survival of the Jewish people, if that's important to you, then you're in the right place. Millions of Jews for thousands of years gave their lives, being burned at the stake during inquisitions, being slaughtered with swords, and having pregnant women having their stomachs cut open, their babies torn out of their bellies by Cossacks in Russia and Ukraine, and crusades and religious, devout Christians shoving thousands of Jews into buildings and burning the buildings down and burning the Jews alive inside the buildings and then dancing around the building screaming, "Christ, we adore thee." And the Holocaust itself. Millions of Jews being burned and gassed in the worst crime in human history. Millions of Jews have died dreaming of the day when we would return to Israel. Dreaming of the day when we'd have a Jewish homeland so that we could go somewhere so that things like this wouldn't happen anymore. Dreaming of the day when we would be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests. Their dream must live. And we have to fight for it, even if we live in a generation that's apathetic and indifferent and doesn't care. We do care. And we're going to send a message to the good Jews of Israel, the good heroic young Jews on those hilltops, that we do care and we do stand behind them. If we fight together as a team, we can make this a better world and we can change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.